appears several of those are due to flood damage.
568 is flood damage. 569 is flood damage. 570. I don't have any extra notes on it. It's a nightly rental property. Or not a nightly rental property.
It says commercial.
Yes, it had been assessed a commercial, and then it was assessed, which put to just a residential. And 571, adjusted area was, they fixed the adjusted area of the property. $572, corrected points on the exterior width, I think, is that what that means?
Exterior wall.
$573, the mobile home removed in 2015. $575 just says erroneous assessment. $578 is residence burned in 12 of 2016. Mm-hmm. $579 change from commercial to residential value.
Exhibit B with today's date. Move to approve Exhibit B dated 11/6/2017.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
The next set of abatements I have is real estate add-ons.
Move-ins or?
The first one is occupancy, yes, move-ins. The next one involves a split.
Split, okay.
I think that makes two have to do with that split.
And when you do the occupancy, they're send a letter to know that if they want to appeal, they can.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Labeled Exhibit C. Move to approve Exhibit C, dated 11/6/2017.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And the last set of abatements is a clerical error. And it is was a split for 2016, but the value did not change for 2017.
So it was added on somewhere else? And then it was added on somewhere else in 16?
Yes.
No,
it wasn't added on. There was a parcel that was split by the high road.
I didn't mean added on. It was paid on another parcel.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
No, this particular one, it was the high road took part, right?
Yes.
And it didn't.
The property was on another parcel that was paid.
On that other parcel.
What amounts to is the house on two different parcels.
Okay.
And only going to be on one.
Move to approve Exhibit D.
Second.
11/6/17.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And that's all I have for today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Insurance discussion.
I have one question that Mr. Eggers might help me with. Do you remember the options, option 4 and option 5?
I have four.
What is the difference in them?
Option 4, the base plan is the same as option 5. The buy-up plan for option
so is the difference is in the buy-up plans, the
correct.
The 2,500 versus the 1,500. Okay.
What was kind of the strange thing is on the base amount, although all the options are the same, the individual cost is higher.
It's because you're buying it up to a $1,500 deductible as opposed to $2,500 deductible.
The option 4 and 5 has the same deductible and everything through. I couldn't find any difference on the base.
It's not on the base. It's on the buy-up. That's what I was asking. So if you want, instead of having a $3,500 deductible, if you want a lower deductible, you can, the employee can opt to pay the extra money and have a lower deductible.
Yes, but the base for the employee on 4 and 5, on 5, it's higher than 4, but all the options are the same. Is that right?
Can I speak to that?
Yes.
I believe the question at hand is that the pricing is slightly different on the base plan on option 4 compared to option 5, even though the plan is identical.
Yes.
Did I say it right?
You did.
Okay. All right. Often happens with, it depends on what plan they pair it with. So they expect that there will be a certain number that will select to go to the buy-up plan. And frankly, the richer the buy-up plan, the more money that the insurance company thinks that they'll pay overall. And so the pricing, the spread between the plans makes a little bit of a difference. So what you pair it with impacts the price of that base plan. Now again, it's not a whole lot. I think it's 447 to 451 or something that on the employee rate, but it can vary just a little bit, just like you noticed.
Of course, when you multiply that times 269,
yeah, you start coming up with a real number. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Option 3 would increase our deductible, individual deductible, by $500 to the employee.
Yes.
And then total out of the pocket if they had a major illness or would be $5,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
The increase of the current plan would be $25 copay on the urgent care and $50 on the emergency room.
Correct.
And if they go to the emergency room, whatever's done in the emergency room, that copay is $200.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's that the coverage doesn't change, just the dollar amount that the employee would have to pay for that service.
And I didn't realize until, which was good to know, that when you're in the emergency room, if they do a CAT scan or whatever, it's part of that $200 copay is it.
In other words, what's billed out of that visit mm-hmm. is supposed to be what that is supposed to apply to.
Yeah. Thank you.
What do you guys want to do? You want to look at raising the deductible? You want to look at leaving it the same?
What do you gentlemen think about option three? In GCR, that would be just based on what we know now. We don't know what it'll be. Next year's employees change, but on GCR, that would increase it. $25,000.
It'd be a 2% increase as opposed to 11% increase for our renewal.
Mm-hmm. And remind the commission that there is the $100 that you pay toward dependent costs as well.
Well, that would be if we voted to do that.
Correct. But if you did, then or didn't, either one, but that would impact that total number. As far as what that increase would be or not be, but if you left the $100 the same, there'd be no increase there, so that would slightly modify that number too.
If we didn't do that, would it not be a savings to the county mm-hmm. for GCR to $83,000? Yeah. The way I figured it.
And I don't know the actual number, but absolutely, that's
yeah. What's the saying? It would be a savings. You're talking about not doing the $100.
Yes.
Yeah.
What happens whenever we start losing all the families around the plan? What's our average age go up to?
It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't know until we got on the other side of open enrollment, but certainly it would have an impact on the total number of dependents. And therefore, it would, theoretically, you would lose some kids and people on the plan that typically don't have a lot of claims. And so you would probably save more than you would lose, but that would be tempered some. That $83,000, you might not save all of that because of the way that the people coming off the plan who are good health risks.
Because right now you said our average age is 45?
I believe that's right, yes.
And you take off employee, children, and family. Then the average age is going to go up.
That is correct.
Think it'll hit 55?
It wouldn't go up that far.
Would it not?
It'd probably still be in the 40s.
Think so?
Yeah.
Have you seen the majority of...
Yes, I know you have. So, hey, typically, you're going to have a range between 40 and 50 on groups that, as far as the average age, and a lot of employers don't pay anything toward dependents. So I would be surprised if it went over 50.
You don't need to know that now, though. As far as $100, that's something we can discuss during budget time? Or does that affect these numbers?
The only thing that it would impact for us is as we build your portal for your employee benefits for open enrollment, okay. that $100 would need to either be reflected or not, and we're kind of at a point where we need to hopefully be able to get that built, right, Ruth?
If you went to the higher plan and went ahead and gave those 88, 89 employees that $1,200 a year, then the higher plan, that would cost every employee deductible $3,500 out of their pocket before. And it would end up costing those 88, 89 employees more, the way I